back in 1995, I was in West Virginia doing a meeting with a man named Lee Robertson. Pastor Lee Robertson had been pastor at Highland Park Baptist Church for 40 years and 6 months. During his 40 years and 6 months as pastor at that church, he pastored two churches prior, but 40 years and 6 months, while he was there at Highland Park Baptist Church, they baptized 63,000 new converts. That's amazing. He had the second largest church in America at one time. It was averaging 11,000. The church grew till it was running 11,000. And man, he preached gun barrel straight. He had a big Bible college, all that sort of thing. But in 1995, at this point, he was about 88 years old. And so I was preaching along with him. I was leading singing for the meeting. We were in Ripley, West Virginia. West Virginia's got all the great names, man. Ripley, West Virginia. We were at Ripley Baptist Temple, Ripley, West Virginia. And we were doing a meeting together. And he had a finger at this point that all of us start having fingers that don't quite straighten out. He'd stick that finger out there and he said, "Now, right here in Jackson County, in Ripley, West Virginia, we've got to give out the good news." Wow, I heard him say that. And that's true, is it not? Right here in Taylorville, we've got to give out the good news. And this song, "God has told us in His Word of Jesus' power to save from sin." Let's try it together. Here we are, everyone. "God has told us in His Word of Jesus' power to save from sin. We must bow to fears to fall. Every crisis is hope to win. We have the news to stop our delay. Now without Jesus, we can't go away. We conquer the grave and Lord be saved. We'll be left our good news today." Verse 2 says, "Take the news to every land." We've got to be a missions-minded church. Amen? Amen. Supporting missionaries, sending missionaries. Here we are. Verse 2. Deeds we've done. We Christians are going to give an account. Will there be some there with you that you brought to God's dear Son? Are there going to be some folks there that you've had the opportunity to lead to Christ? I hope so. We need to work toward that. Verse 3. "When we stand before God's that we will let our light shine, that we'll testify about you, about your saving grace, about your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Upon our confession and our repentance, you've pardoned us from our sins. Hallelujah, Lord. Now tonight we've gathered to hear from your word, to hear from heaven. We need a working of the Holy Spirit. Oh, please, I pray that all of us will be forgiven of all sin, all of us thoroughly right with you. And then, Lord, we all need to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. No doubt about that. I know I want to and I need to be filled. Help me, Lord, and help your people and all those precious young people down the way. Oh, Lord, please work in their midst tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible, please, to the book of Matthew. I hope you've got a copy of the Bible, and I hope you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to continue that message from last night. And while you're finding your place, I'd say thank you, choir. Wow, that choir did a great job tonight. That's a happy song about heaven. And they just, I don't know, as they say in some circles, they just hit a home run. That was just wonderful. Matthew chapter 28. And Brother Gary, all that song leading. My favorite music in all the world is congregational singing. I just love hearing all of God's people sing. And I know we're probably singing some bad notes. I know there's got to be some bad notes going on, but I'll tell you, it's just beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful how God puts all these voices together. Hallelujah. I mean, I've sung wrong notes too. I've sung wrong words, wrong verses. I've done all that stuff. But I just move on. Well, praise the Lord for a good day. I've had a great day, and I thank the Lord for it. And so excited about seeing you tonight. And then tomorrow night, and then Wednesday night. Please be in your place. It's a short meeting. And so let's just be in our place. Let's come early. Many of you did come early. Thank you for that. And the atmosphere that was in this place, even before the meeting started, was just wonderful. The camaraderie and the fellowship of God's people together, just wonderful. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. And all of you, dear precious folk. Matthew chapter 28. Oh, I should mention, Miss Joan, oh, she's really working back there at that table. And she wants you to stop by and get some CDs. Because she figures that she'll be a success if she gets rid of all of them. And I want her to succeed, friends. So does my staff. We've got almost 200,000 pieces of music in our warehouses. They don't want to see these 100 and some CDs back. They really don't. Stop by. This one's a fairly new one. I am so blessed. And then several of you have gotten these already, the Mountain Hymns. They're instrumental only, played by banjo, guitar, and dobro. You say, what's a dobro? Well, get one of these and you'll start hearing the dobro played. And they're really well done. And then these Bible stories for kids. I found 10 more of each of them. They're back at the table now. That's all I have with me now. But these Bible stories for kids, volume 1 and volume 2. And they're just any size donation. I wish you'd get some. If you want to get a large order of them, talk to me, and I'll be glad to get some shipped to you. Now, you ready for the Bible? Good. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Last night we started a message entitled, What Matters to Jesus? And in the opening remarks, we mentioned that if you want to know what matters to a man, listen to him talk. He will talk about things that really matters to him. And the older a man gets, The more narrow his life becomes, and the more narrow the things that really matter to him. Things that one time mattered, they begin to fade away. And things that are vitally important become more important to a Christian man and to a Christian lady. Now, what is it that matters to Jesus? Well, in this passage, what matters to Jesus is winning them. Win them. Win them to Christ. That matters. That really matters. When a person dies, the one necessary thing in this life is that they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's not necessary that they had to be rich. It's not necessary that they had to be educated. It's not necessary many things in this life, that they were famous or beautiful. No, those things are not necessary at the end of life. The one thing that is necessary is that you have truly received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so what matters to Jesus? Well, win them. Win them. But then something else. Baptize them. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. We win them to Christ, then we baptize them. And then thirdly, and this is what the message is all about, is verse 20, teaching them. Now we're talking about discipleship. And so I read you this definition yesterday. Let me read it again. What is discipleship? Discipleship is that developmental process of the local church that progressively brings Christians from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity so that they are then able to reproduce the process with someone else. That is a fantastic definition of discipleship. And our church is all about these things that matter to Jesus. We're all about winning folks to Christ, baptizing folks, and then teaching them. And that's what we're concentrating on now, is teaching them. Number one, we talked about the concept of discipleship. We said it was the right concept, it had the right information, and it brings the right skills to the Christian. Number two, we talked about the process of discipleship. There's no time table to it. No, it begins at salvation, but it continues all life long. The longer a Christian is alive, the more discipled they should be, the more mature of a believer that they should be. They should continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. And we looked at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And we talked about three things there. Submission. Discipleship includes submission. Discipleship also includes work. Who is it that gets the Christian work done? Do the atheist? Hello? Well, no. The unbeliever? The scoffer? The critic of Jesus? No, no, no. It's Christians. It's disciples that get all of the Christian work done. Who is it that ever raises the level of righteousness in a country? It's God's people. It's God's disciples. It's God's disciples that helps raise the level of righteousness. We are to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And we stand unflinchingly for the Bible and the great truths of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are the workers. We like that song, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. That's what God's disciples do. We work till Jesus comes. So submission, work, and then companionship. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Now, as fast as you can, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're on point number 3. That was a little recap of what we had last night. Now we're on point number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everyone please turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. And thank you for turning in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to begin our reading in verse 14 in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 14. Now, point number 3 of this sermon is the progress of discipleship. We've talked about the concept, the process. Now, number 3, the progress. Oh, if you want to make progress. Well, wait a minute. Hey. Do you want to make progress? Okay, if you want to make progress as a young man and progress as a runner, if you wanted to progress as a runner, who would you train with? Well, you'd train with someone who knew how to run. You'd train with someone a little better than you. Whatever you're working toward improving, you work with people better than you. If you want to get out of debt, and you want to make progress to get out of debt, you don't find the most slothful person possible that is in enormous debt. Say, how do you get out of debt? That's not the guy to ask advice from. You ask someone who has gotten out of debt, how'd you do it? And let them disciple you in finances. Well, if you want to make progress, and you just said you did, you want to make progress as a Christian, then yoke yourself and be with and study with and become friends with someone that is a good disciple of Jesus. Don't have your best friend, someone who hates Jesus. Don't have your counselors to be someone who does not believe the Bible. No, we want our best friends and the ones that we seek advice from. We want to make progress, so we want to find people that know the Lord and know the Lord well. Amen. We want to make progress, so get with the right person. But then secondly, seek to be the right person. Number one, get with the right person. But number two, seek yourself to be the right person. Don't you want to be the right kind of disciple? Isn't that your aspiration, ladies and gentlemen? It is, isn't it? That's why you've come tonight. That's why I'm here myself. I want to be the right kind of disciple. I need to be the right kind of disciple. You do. So what kind of disciple are you? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. All right, this is not the right kind of disciple. Verse 14 is not the right kind of disciple. Look at it. Verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. The natural man, he doesn't know them because they are spiritually discerned. But now verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Four kind of people described here. Four kind of people. Three are disciples, and one is not even a disciple. Verse 14, back in chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man. The natural man is still unsaved. He's not a disciple. He's just a natural man. He's not been born again. He's unsaved. Do you know that everyone is in one of two categories? Either saved or unsaved. Child of God, child of the devil. One Tennessee preacher who's now with the Lord, it wasn't good grammar, but he said it this way. He said, you're either a saint or you ain't. Not good grammar, but it's good theology. And this person in verse 14, unsaved. I've got unsaved folk on my daily prayer list that I am praying that they will receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, I hope you have a prayer list like that too. But the first category in verse 14, the first one mentioned is an unsaved person. But now the second person mentioned in chapter 2, verse 15, oh, this is a wonderful disciple. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. This is the mature and the developed Christian. That should be the goal. That all lifelong we just keep living for Jesus Christ, and we walk with Him, and we learn of Him, and we teach others of Him, we disciple others. Oh, amen. That we aspire to be the spiritual disciple, the mature believer. But then the third category in chapter 3, verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. We talked last night about baby Christians, how we love baby Christians. Our church loves baby Christians. We want baby Christians. We want to see people born again in Taylorsville. Amen to that. And when you get born again, the first day, second, you're just a baby. Our pastor, he began as a baby Christian. Moses, even by the world, is considered one of the seven greatest people that ever lived. Well, Moses became a great Christian, a great man of faith, tremendous. But he started just like all other people of faith starts. We all start as baby Christians. And, you know, it's just like having an infant, you know, today looked at a little two-month-old. Back there during our time together, I sat at a table with a two-month-old. Yeah, two months old. And she would cry a little bit and get that pacifier back in, and then she'd spit it out and then cry a little bit, and her dad would put it back in. And precious, aren't they? 2 months old. You want to know something really beautiful? See a brand-new mama holding a baby. Brand new baby. Tell you something else beautiful. A brand new grandmother holding a brand new grandbaby. Those are just beautiful things, you know. So beautiful. Now, here at our church, we love little babies. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Now, hey, little babies. They're not that smart. I mean, in the middle of the night. Wham. I mean, it's not polite at all. We're trying to sleep around here. Wham. And you go in there, what's wrong? Guess. you know. And then they do things that you have to clean up. Baby Christians sometimes mess up. You're like, what's wrong with that person? They're just a baby. They're a baby Christian. They've not matured yet. It takes time. You know, the giant oak tree? That didn't happen in 3 weeks. That took years for the giant oak tree. The squash. Yeah, you can grow that thing in 40 days, but not a giant oak tree. No. These take a while. And so a baby, that's wonderful. But now, wait a minute. Let's say the little two-month-old. We come back 18 years later and mama's still holding the child. And you'd say, I'm sorry. Your child is now 18 months old. I'm sorry. Because see, something's wrong. When an 18-year-old is still just like a two-month-old. And sometimes babies have problems. But let me tell you, baby Christians, well, they need to read the Word of God. They need someone to disciple them, someone to teach them, and they need to be teachable. Oh, they need to be teachable. Just tell me what to do. Believe it or not, I led Jesse James to Christ. I really did. Man's name, not the guy you're thinking about, but another, a modern guy named Jesse James, businessman named Jesse James, led him to Christ. So I began discipling him. We got a little discipleship program at Bible Truth Music, 5 little lessons. We printed about 250,000 of those things, and they're in 8 languages. It's called Bible Truths for New Believers. And so I'm working with Jesse and talking to him about tithing. He didn't even know how to pronounce it to begin with. And I'll tell you, I discipled him on Tuesday. He got saved on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, I saw him receive Christ. He came to church Sunday night. Tuesday, discipling him. He comes to church Wednesday night, gives his first tithe check. Oh, he's getting it. He's getting it. He's understanding. That's wonderful. 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 Okay, we're going through discipleship. Get him to baptism. He said, Brother Fox, that's one thing God is going to have to understand about me. He said, I cannot get baptized. He said, as a boy, this businessman tells me, he said, as a boy, I almost drowned. Had a near-death experience. I almost drowned. He said, so Brother Fox, I cannot get baptized. There is no way possible. He said, I can't take a bath. He said, I can barely take a shower. He said, no, I can't do that. I said, God just going to understand. I said, well, Jesse, you're never going to be everything as a Christian you ought to be then. So that sounds kind of rough. Well, I don't see an exception clause on an able-bodied man. I don't see the exception clause. And so I said, well, Jesse, I believe God would help you. I said, my pastor, when he had baptized you, he'd give a disclaimer and said, Jesse's kind of nervous. Y'all pray for him while I baptize him. Well, Jesse said, there's just no way possible. So we continued on with discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. Finally, we kept talking about baptism. Just kept coming up. Finally, he said, all right, I'm going to let you preacher baptize me. So I'll tell you, it's going to be awful. He said, there's no telling what I might do. He said, I might hit your preacher. I might knock him out. I don't know what I'll do. Well, my pastor had been part of the SWAT team, you know, with the police. So I kind of notified him that this could get rough. So pastor gets Jesse up there ready. I think we had about 4 baptized that evening. And Jesse was going to be last in case he splashed all the water out. Whatever might happen. And so we baptized the other 3. And so pastor said, now, folks, you know that Jesse's received Christ recently. He had a near-death experience with water. And we're all happy, Jesse, that tonight you're going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We appreciate that you're doing something that's even difficult for you to do. Well, Jesse was quaking with fear. But he gets down into the water. And my pastor, you know, he grabbed him. And he talked with us. He got him by the front and the back, you know what I'm saying? And he quaking with fear. And by the grace of God, preacher got him under, boy. And Jesse was fighting him. But pastor, he was pretty aggressive. He put him under and he brought him up. You know what I'm saying? And our church, I'm telling you, we just erupted in praise to the Lord, clapping, rejoicing, because a man had done what Jesus wanted him to do. Amen. We don't want people to remain baby Christians. We want people to mature, not to remain babies. No, no, no. Grow as Christians. There's 4 categories. The first category is someone's not even a disciple. In verse 14, just a natural man. Second group is a spiritual disciple, someone who has matured as a believer. The third category is the babe in Christ, the baby Christian. But the fourth category, it's awful. Chapter 3, in verse 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Why? What's the problem? Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. A carnal disciple. For whereas there is among you envying, envy straight out of hell. Strife. Oh, that's not of God. Divisions. No. Are ye not carnal? And walk as men. What kind of disciple is that? That's a fleshly disciple. That is a worldly Christian. That is an underdeveloped disciple. That's been happening a long time. In the Bible, we've got a man named Demas. D-E-M-A-S. He's mentioned three times in the Scriptures. One time, Paul said, Demas is profitable. Good. He's a profitable disciple. He's doing things in the cause of Christ. He's working in the cause of Christ. He's spreading the gospel. Wonderful. He's glorifying God. Wonderful. He's profitable. I hope that can be said about us every single day, that we do something profitable in the cause of Christ. Every day, make every day count. Well, Demas, he was making it count. Then Demas is mentioned a second time in the Scripture. In fact, his name is just mentioned. Nothing positive, nor nothing negative. There's a third time that Demas is mentioned, that he's forsaken the work of God. And it says this, having loved, Demas, having loved this present world, he became allured by the things of this world. I heard a preacher make a mistake once. You know, preachers, they preach with everything they have, and sometimes they'll say something not exactly correct. Like one time, myself, I was talking about Jonah, that Jonah was in a whale of a belly. That didn't come out right, did it? I think it was a belly of a whale. But, you know, we sometimes make mistakes. It really was a whale of a belly. But this one pastor, he misspoke. This pastor said, there is no pleasure in sin. Well, I know what he means. There's no lasting joy in sin. It doesn't last. But there is pleasure in sin for a season. Isn't that what it says, folks? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get in the flesh and operate in the flesh and be some temporary thrills. And somehow Demas, he's getting these temporary thrills, the allure of the world and the things of the world. Yeah. And he became a carnal Christian. You know, I hate to even think about it, but there's a lot of Christians who do not finish well. Oh, they get saved, they start walking with God, and then somehow they get off track as disciples and workers in the cause of Christ. And they become carnal. And they can even disrupt the work of God and be a hindrance in the cause of Christ. Oh, God forbid that any of us in this room would get into this category. Let's go to our last passage tonight. Everybody turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Everybody, 2 Timothy. I read it today. I finished reading through the Bible today by the grace of God and started over. But we're turning right this moment to 2 Timothy, to our final passage of the evening. 2 Timothy. We were just talking about the progress of discipleship. And if you stumble, get back up. Get back up. It's how you finish that counts. So you messed up. Well, get forgiven and go on for Jesus. And if you stop growing as a disciple, if you stop growing as a disciple, you will decline. Everyone in this room, hey, just as we're getting to our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, hey, everybody, look this way. Every one of us in this room, from the most immature, the baby Christian in this room, to the most mature. Hey, every one of us in this meeting, in this service, in this day, oh Lord, we need to all take our next step in our walk with Christ. What is your next step? You probably know what your next step is supposed to be. Sometimes we that have been saved for a while, have been saved 47 years. Sometimes we that have been saved 47 years, we're tempted not to take that next step. Oh no, every one of us, if we don't keep moving forward, we will start to decline as Christians. I want you to see this last section in the Bible. We've talked about the progress of discipleship. Let's talk right now on point number four of this sermon, the essence of discipleship. What is the very essence? What is discipleship all about? Here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 1. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the things I've taught you, the things you've heard from me, the things I discipled you in, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. What you've learned as a disciple from me, you turn right around and you find you some faithful men and you teach them. And then those faithful men shall be able to teach others also. This is the very essence of discipleship. You see, listen carefully. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Discipleship is a transferable process. It transfers from one Christian to the next, and that Christian to the next, discipling the next, discipling the next, discipling the next. Listen, it's transferable. It's said this way, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There's a young man named Adam. Adam. I was preaching at his church. Adam received Christ as his Savior. I was preaching at his church. I preached at his church many times. I was preaching at his church when he was 15. I preached and he walked down. Adam walked the aisle and said, I'm surrendering to be an evangelist. Adam went off to Bible college. The college that he went to, I preach at. And I went over there and I saw Adam at Bible college. And I saw him continue to make progress, make progress, make progress. Then after he got out of that Bible college, he traveled with me for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, I tried to feed that boy. Oh my goodness, could he eat? And then could that boy snore? I told him, I said, look, Adam, I've got to go to sleep before you, because if you go to sleep before me, I'll never get to sleep. I mean, I've never heard such snoring in all of my life. So I tried to get a, Adam, you stay up a while. I want to go sleep, man. Adam's now about 30 years old. He's married. He's got children. And he travels full time as an evangelist. That's amazing. You know what Adam's got now? He's got two sidekicks with him that he's trying to train. I think that's just wonderful. Through the years, I've had so many different young men, just a few at a time. I've got two right now, Chris and Carrie. They're soul winners. They're preachers. They're earnest young men. These boys travel in the vehicle with me. I try to feed them. I make them do certain things. I teach them. And I've told them they can ask me anything, any difficult question about anything they want to. And I told them I'd give them the best I understand from the scriptures. I remember I was telling them that for the first time. And I said this to them, I don't know, this came out of me. I said, but now boys, I'm going to teach you what I believe, but I don't want you to become sycophants. And they said, yes, sir, Brother Fox, we will not become sycophants. Permission to ask a question, Brother Fox. What is a sycophant? I don't know where the word sycophant came out of me. A sycophant is a stooge, just a yes man. And I said, I don't want you to be a bunch of yes men. I want you to learn the word on your own. And I want you to become men of conviction based on the word of God, not based upon Brother Fox. Oh, we want these young preachers to grow in grace. I've heard Carrie get up and preach and see people get born again, friends. Hallelujah for young preachers. I was at a service one night, and one of the young preachers, I'm just telling you what happened a few years ago. It wasn't either one of these current boys I've got, but one of the young men jumped the organ while he preached. Someone came to me and said, what do you think of that, Brother Fox? I said, well, I don't think I can jump it. I didn't want to criticize the boy, but I'm not jumping any organs tonight or ever. Hallelujah for young, the evangelists that want to be discipled and then grow to maturity to start discipling others. That's the essence. That is the essence of discipleship, that we learn of Christ and we give it on to others. I've got to say this, how sad it is when believers do not grow and when believers have no interest in discipling someone else. Let me read you a scripture, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Oh, it is a shame that some never have an interest in discipling someone else, to teach someone else, to even learn how to lead someone to Christ. I was doing a youth rally. And the youth rally, oh my, it turned out bigger than we ever expected it to be. And I gave a gospel sermon, a gospel message. Many lost young people there. And the aisles flooded with young people wanting to be saved. And man, I was calling on people, and I saw a lady, because we had five girls standing here wanting to be saved. And I saw a young lady. Well, she's a public school teacher. She's the daughter of a pastor that I know well. And the young lady is faithful to church. I said, hey, so-and-so, please come, help me. I called her by name. I said, we've got five young ladies who want to be saved. Would you please lead them to Christ? And the young lady, the pastor's daughter-in-law, said, well, Brother Fox, I don't know how to do that. Here was someone who had been in church, I don't know, 25 years, who said, I don't know how to deal with someone who's come forward to be saved. We've got to do better than this. What is it that matters to Jesus? I'll tell you what matters. Leading folks to Christ, seeing them baptized, and then us being disciples ourselves. Learning the Bible so we're apt to teach others. Would you bow your heads? I want our organist to come and find that song, I Am Resolved. No longer to linger, charmed, by the world's delight. Lord, I'm going to call upon these folk to make resolutions tonight. First, Lord, may I ask them if they're saved? Heads are bowed. How many of you can say, Brother Fox, I know for sure I'm saved. Would you raise a hand if you know for sure you're saved? Please raise them high. If you know for sure you're saved, would you please raise them high? If you know, God bless you. Is there anyone in this room tonight who would say, Brother Fox, I'm not saved. I'm in that natural man. I'm an unsaved person here tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight that would like to receive Christ? Is there anyone that tonight you would like to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is there anyone like that? All right. Has the Holy Spirit spoken to your heart? If the Lord has spoken to you, would you raise a hand right now and say, I've heard from God tonight. Oh, yes. 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 Good. Yes, the Lord has spoken to me in the sermon tonight. Oh, Lord, I know you're speaking. I know. You've spoken to me. We had our choir sing the first song, Speak to Us, We Pray. And so, Lord, I pray that at this invitation, some real consecration will take place. Please, in Jesus' name. Everyone stand. As the music plays, if you want to come to the altar, you're welcome.